I didn't find anything abnormal calling Blairsville, but I guess it does sound a little bit in the hillbilly dialect that I have. They said Thomas got a little bit loud last night, and I thought I was the hollering hillbilly of this crowd. So, but it is good to be back to Pleasant Grove. I have had the honor of being in your pulpit at the invite of your pastor on multiple occasions, and I want to tell you that one thing I did tell the search committee, if I thought that I wouldn't get to preach, I don't want to be an associational missionary, so I hope that I get invited to all of the churches to preach. And very excited about this new opportunity in our lives. And tonight I want to talk to you about peace. Think about it tonight. A year ago, would you have thought we would have had to wonder if we were going to have a revival or not, or even have church or not? Would you have thought a year ago we would be having to wear masks in public and all those kind of things? And I really like these folks that have got the face shields. I like that. Somebody told them I spit when I preach. That's what that's up about right now. I really like that because the mask kind of confined me, so that's a really good idea. I told them I'm interim at Spring Place over in Chatsworth, near Chatsworth, and actually in Spring Place, but Spring Place Baptist. And we drive by here every Sunday on the way over. We pray for your pastor and your church on the way. But I told them yesterday, if I need to get me a mask made that says, "Have you been saved?" That'd be a good way. Let's turn that thing into a witnessing tool, okay? Hey, get your Bible, if you would, and join me in John chapter 16. Verse 32, John 16:32. Tonight, I'm blessed to have my wife Diane with me. A little over 30 years ago, she and I started dating, and July the 7th, 1990, we were married. And believe it or not, she still wants to hang out with me and go along with me, and we're partners in ministry, and I mean that. And when she doesn't get to go, and that's one of the things I didn't like about being a state missionary all over the state of Georgia, is she couldn't go with me all the time. And I'm not at my full capacity unless she's with me. And there's two things that happened to me, I want you to know this, that are so vital in my life. First and foremost, I've been saved. I was born again. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, most important thing. But then he gave me a spirit-filled, godly wife. If I didn't have her, you wouldn't want to hear me preach tonight, okay? I mean that. I'd be a carnal rascal, okay? And so God uses her. Bill Stafford called his wife Sue holy sandpaper, okay? And God uses Diane to keep me in check, and I'm grateful for her and glad she's with me tonight. And so, boys, y'all take lessons. I'm putting points in my love bank while I do that. Let's stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. John 16:32. Now, Jesus is going to say something so significant right here about peace. And I want y'all to hear me before I read this. The world we're walking in right now is not filled with peace. But it is for those of us who are saved, okay? And it can be for those who will be saved. So listen to what he says. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. What a statement. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's pray together. Lord, tonight would you touch and anoint and empower your word and your message. I pray, Lord, that I do nothing to hinder or defame you, that only that I would glorify the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus Christ tonight, and I ask it in his power for his glory. Amen. You may be seated. The picture here is the disciples of Jesus were about to head into some very troublesome times, and Jesus knew that they were going to need some landmarks, some anchor points to reach back to in order for them to have some stability. Well, my goodness, if we ever needed an anchor point in our lives, it's in 2020, okay? And we've had such an unpredictable year. My personal life has been very different. And last year, in the end of 19, I resigned the church, and in 2020, we've been doing an interim. I've been back to doing some the secular work that I'm familiar with some heavy equipment, and worked today doing some things. And it seemed like everything I had broke down today, and sometimes that's the way things go when you're trying to get something done, and the enemy works at you. And on top of all those things, my dad has been very sick. And I want to ask you, I'm going to be a little selfish here. My dad's name is Dayton Dyer. And I know your pastor's been praying, possibly your church has already been praying. But my dad is very ill, and I'd ask you to please remember my dad when you pray. And I would be very grateful for that. That's been a very difficult thing for me this year. Diane and I have one daughter. She's 26 years old now, and she got married in April. And I did her wedding. She'd asked me to do it, and I thought, I don't know how in the world I can, but I couldn't tell her no. And it went really good, but we went from a wedding of 500 or 600 people to about 11 or 12 because of COVID. But even in that, and I want you to think about something. For a woman, they spend their whole life anticipating that day of getting married, and all that got taken seemingly away. It's still a very special day, and we actually did it at my parents' home in Blairsville, and my dad got to be there because of those changes. So it was a blessing, you know. But a lot of things had just been really hard, and really we didn't understand a lot of things, and we've had to have peace in all this time. And I want to tell you today, tonight you're looking at a man and his wife who are living in peace because we are following Jesus Christ. I think about anchor points, and you talked about my career with DNR. I worked for DNR for 15 years, and now I went into ministry and had a bivocational, had a company and my own business, and so I guess you could say I'm not really all that smart because I was pastoring a church and running my own business. That ain't too smart sometimes. It's hard, okay? But when I worked for DNR, I was on the mountain search and rescue team. And I was the rope specialist. And when we did training and then when we did real-life rescue events, I would usually be the guy that tied off the anchor point for the team. And everybody would go off on that line that I secured. Now here's what I look for. I have never seen a man who could pull a white oak tree out of the ground on of his own, okay? So I'd find me a big old white oak tree that lined up with the rock cliff that I needed, and I'd pad the rock cliff. And I always loved it when the new guys came, Dan, because they'd get out, they were scared. You're talking about peace. They didn't have much of it. They're about to go over a rock ledge. Sometimes we did Tallulah Gorge one time. There's some places over there that was 600 feet. We didn't have a 600 feet rope. We had to piece the rope. But those old boys, the new ones, would come in, and I'd get them all lined up, and I'd say, "All right, y'all ready?" And they'd say, "Yeah, yes, sir, Mr. Dyer." And I'd say, "Now let me tell you something before you go. I want you to know this before you go over the edge. They're about to step over the edge." And I'd say, "That rope that you're on was bought from the lowest bidder." All right? That's how the state operated, all right? And off they'd go, and I'd wave them over the edge. But that's not very peaceful, is it? But isn't it good to know that when the chips are down, life is tough, and maybe things aren't just going your way, that really, in all reality, and I've seen some signs like this lately, that God's got this, okay? We need to know that tonight. You know, when Jesus was talking to these men, he already knew some things. He knew that Judas would betray him, one of his own. He knew he would be taken captive and that there would be a mock trial and he would be found guilty of things that he had nowhere even came close of doing. I like what the Bible predicted in prophecy about that moment when it said he opened not his mouth to defend himself. And these very men who had made allegiance to Jesus and said, I'll die for you. And ultimately they did, but not here. In just a little while, they would slither away like snakes in the grass. And then Jesus would be crucified. He would die a vicarious death on the cross as the atonement, the ultimate, perfect, only acceptable payment for my sin and your sin. That's the only way we could ever be forgiven. Do you realize that tonight? I'm telling you, that's worth the price of admission. And God was using His Son, and still is through the written word, to prepare these people and ultimately us too for the ups and downs of this life with the hope of the life to come that is prepared for us. And we'll look at that here directly. First thing I want to show you, and he says it in his word, but I want to show you how the hope of heaven makes us overcomers. In John chapter 14, Jesus starts that out by saying, let not your heart be troubled. While I pastored in Cleveland, Georgia, I believe it was early 2017. Diane, you can correct me on that if I'm wrong, but I was with a family in my church in Memphis, Tennessee. She was having a brain tumor removed by a specialist out there. Nobody else in the world would touch her. And I went out there with them and their family. And while I was there, one of the worst tragedies of my ministry, among the worst, happened. In the Ingalls parking lot in Cleveland, Georgia, a mama and her little infant and her little boy, I believe was Easton 3, sweetest little boy you've ever seen. Just a perfect little gentleman, just a well-mannered little boy. He was doing exactly what his mommy told him to do, and she said, son, you stand here with me. Behind the car, I'm putting the groceries in the car. The other little baby was in the buggy in a little carrier. And a man intoxicated on drugs and alcohol ran into the back of their car and pinched Easton between the car and his car. And then he accelerated and it killed Easton. And I was in Memphis, and I was getting these phone calls, and I was doing what I was supposed to be doing as a pastor, but I discovered that I couldn't be everywhere, and I wanted to be, but I also knew that God could be, and I remember preaching from this very place that following Sunday. You know why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled? Now, this is not rocket science. I don't do much rocket science preaching. Y'all done figured that out. You know why he said that, though? Because those people's hearts were troubled. And where we're living at today, people's hearts are troubled. Dan, where you probably used to be over in the Augusta area, right now there's a couple of really good men of God that are fighting for their lives with COVID right now. And you know, I know those men's wives personally, and I guarantee you their hearts are troubled as their husbands are laying there in the hospital on a respirator and fighting for their lives. Jesus says it well in our text. In this world you'll have tribulation. We have problems. And so at some point in our lives, we're going to share in these difficulties in this journey that we're on. I think about the 30 years of our marriage and the ups and downs and the problems we've had and the difficulties pastoring a church and serving in the state missionary and running a company and then just the relational things. And you got to understand it, no matter how good it is or how bad it is, God's got this. I like what one preacher said. I was talking to another preacher friend last night, and he's talking about a preacher that said, he told folks in his church, he said, if you're a Christian, the things that are happening in this world are as bad as it's going to get. But catch this, if you're lost, this is as good as it's going to get. Wow, what polar opposites that is. And so we got to look beyond our obstacles and our problems and look forward, because Jesus has promised us peace in me. I won't let you interview my wife, but she couldn't say peace in me from Stacy. Okay, because I know I'm aggravating to live with. She's jumped up and shouted, amen, glory, hallelujah. Y'all don't get to feeling too good about yourselves. You ain't the easiest one either, amen? We all got difficulties, don't we? And so, but think about it. We were talking about my grandmother a little while ago. And we were talking about how some years are good and some years are bad. In 2000, we had one of those stinky years. Y'all ever have a stinky year? It was awful. Diane's dad died with lung cancer. February the 15th, 2000. I'll never forget this. I went roller skating with a youth group and broke my right leg. And then one of my preacher friends at the next associational meeting sung, you can't get to heaven on roller skates. Okay? It ain't that funny. Still, okay? But I don't roller skate anymore. I learned from that, all right? I don't ride anything that don't have brakes on it. You remember that. But my grandmother died later that year. One of the most godly women I ever known. While she was, they had her at the hospital in Atlanta, and they did a heart cath, and her heart busted. She lived 2 or 3 days after that. And while she was dying, Dan, she witnessed to the nurses. One of the nurses said this, Miss Dyer, how could you be this happy knowing that you're going to die? And she said, I'm so glad you asked. And she shared Jesus Christ with that girl. I mean, it was amazing, her testimony. Because she had, listen, she had something to look forward to. She had a mansion waiting on her in heaven that Jesus Christ had promised her, and she was counting on it. And I'll tell you something, she got it. Okay? 2 or 3 days later, she got her mansion. So we got prepared places waiting for us. I don't know about you, but every day I live, I get a little closer to wanting to go home. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to go on the next load or nothing, all right? But every day, I'm 52 years old. Dan talked about that song like it was some old thing. Well, it's 2 years younger than me, okay? Come on now. And listen, I see some of y'all in here probably a little older than me. I'm going to tell you something. Is anybody in here like the body you've got right now? If you do, please don't raise your hand. You'll make me feel bad about myself, all right? Y'all just wait. You wait till you see me in heaven and I get my glorified body. I've got pictures to prove it. I used to be skinny, all right? And I had black hair too, all right? And as I get older, last night this happened to me. I hate it. I don't know why this happens to me. And I asked my doctor about it. I'm not taking blood thinner or anything that should cause me to bleed. But last night, we've got a new grand dog, okay? Our daughter's got a new dog and our son-in-law. And she loves me and I love dogs. And she's just all over me. And she scratched my arm last night. And Diane goes, you're bleeding again. I can just look at myself and I'm bleeding. Does anybody else do that, or is it just me, okay? I'm looking forward to trading in this old rotten body for one that don't bleed, okay? And so no pain, no sorrow, no heartache, no tears to dim the eyes. We deal with people that are hard to deal with. I'm gonna make a great confession to you. There's one place in my life that I struggle. Okay? Y'all ready? Don't hold this against me, all right? Because some of you have it too. It's when I drive. Do you know there's people that ought not have driver's license? They frustrate me, okay? We got behind a car on the way here tonight on 515 coming out of Blairsville, running 57 miles an hour. The speed limit's 65. Shoot, you can run 75 and they will not bother you, all right? And he's in the left lane. And the guy beside him decided to run 57. And holy sandpaper back there said, "It's all right." I said, "Boy, I wish I had my snow plow." You know? That's when I'm being honest, my carnality pops out when I drive. I ought to just let her drive, Dan. I don't know, I guess. But isn't it nice when things go smooth? A couple years ago, we went on a trip out to Montana, went to Glacier and Yellowstone and Wyoming. The Grand Tetons. And we took Diane's mother and brother and sister and sister-in-law, and our daughter went, and it was a family trip. And I'll be honest with you, you don't ever know when you go on a trip with folks what's going to happen. Let's be real. It could go wonderful, or it could be the biggest racket you've ever seen in your life that you'd never get over, okay? But we had I call it the trip of a lifetime. There wasn't a hard word. There wasn't a cross word said the whole trip. And everything was perfect. I mean, and shortly after we were there, there was wildfires and earthquakes, and we didn't cause any of it, I promise. But we didn't have any obstacles that held us back, and then we had that fun time with family. It's a moment that I'll cherish. But I thought about, I kind of compare that that's just a glimpse of what eternity is going to look like for those who have been born again, who are saved. And so I'm looking forward when Jesus says, "Peace in me." I know that the night that I bowed my knee in an altar at Pine Top Baptist Church up in the hills of Blairsville, that I inherited that peace. And nobody, no thing, no problem can ever take that away from me or you, okay? And don't let the devil think that he can. The second thing is, the help of the Holy Spirit provides a boost for us with heaven-sent peace and power. And you can, I'm not going to read it all, but in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 27, make you a little mark there and just read that. Boy, Jesus makes some promises about not leaving us comfortless, and he's going to provide a comforter. See, the world doesn't understand what had caused you to come out on Monday night or any night to church, to worship. And by the way, thank you for the great worship tonight. Would you let them know? You need to be thankful for folks that lead us in worship. Worship helps me, okay? And I'm thankful for it. And I mean that tonight. But people don't understand worshiping somebody they can't see. You know, someday I'm going to see Jesus. The Bible tells us how we're going to see him. Y'all ready? As he is. He's going to unload on us when we see him, okay? All of him. All right, it's going to be amazing. But it's also going to be heartbreaking. Because when I see him, Dan, there'll be wounds in his hands, in his feet. He'll have a tattered brow where they beat him. There'll be stripes on his back, and they're mine and yours. He's wearing them for us. And so people don't understand, though, until we see him like that, why we would even want to come to church. Well, I want to experience the Holy Spirit at church, and we do, and I'm grateful for that. But I also want him with me everywhere I go. When I got saved, Jesus, y'all may not agree with me here. You got a right to be wrong if you want to, all right? But when I got saved, Jesus Christ took up residence in this little feller's heart right here. He ain't going nowhere. 24/7, 365 days a year, God resides in me. I'm his child, a child of the King. And I love a modern song we sing, I Am a Friend of God. I love that song. I can talk to God just like a friend because he loves me. And I'm so grateful for that. And the Holy Spirit comes in moments that, like we're living in right now, and he just says, don't you worry. I've got this. Brother Larry Wynn's coming Wednesday night. We had lunch last week. I'm going to go ahead and steal his sermon illustration. We were talking about, and he used it at Concord recently. He probably, and it's worthy of using multiple times. But he was talking about the movie where John F. Kennedy, and they were talking about the nuclear war, and they were all sitting in the war room, and he said, there's no experts in the room. You know, right now, your pastor and pastors all over the world are trying to figure out what to do. I'm sure that some of the things you've tried to do, you've probably been criticized. You probably don't know it because they probably did it behind your back, okay? But it doesn't matter what you do. If you're doing something, somebody won't like it. Can I get a witness? But bless God and praise the Lord that folks are trying to do something. And we don't have all the answers. But listen, God told us through his word, through his authors of the Bible, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I'm thankful y'all are trying that, okay? And we don't need to stop. And we certainly don't need the government telling us when or when we can't do it, all right? Now, that don't mean I'm going to lick the doorknob on the way out either, okay? And so we don't need to be stupid. I'm thankful over at Spring Place, the chairman of deacons over there fixed up the sanctuary like he did. Brother Michael's a wonderful friend. Love him. And he's wrote on there, spiritual distancing on the pews, okay? And so trying to just make it work. And we don't have all the answers over at Spring Place. And let me tell you something. The fellow that tells you he has all the answers, run from him, all right? He ain't got it all figured out, okay? The only one that has this figured out is God. And his answer is, I've got this. Now, he's here to help us. And I'm glad that he does live inside of all of us. When our faith increases, our fears dissipate. They have to flee when we trust in Jesus, okay? And what a friend we have in Jesus. The third thing is that humbling reality that Jesus is our friend, and that settles our spirits. I'll talk a little bit again tonight about this happened to me when I worked at Vogel State Park as a DNR park ranger. I started a month before I graduated high school. I started a full-time job as working in the park. I was a utility worker. Let me tell you what that meant. I had 400 garbage cans to pick up garbage every day, okay? And I had to fight the bears for it, okay? But I became the youngest senior park ranger in the history of the Parks Department. I had a dream career. If God had left me alone, I could have been retired right now. Okay? He didn't, and I'm glad he didn't. I don't mean that bad, but I promise you I don't. I wouldn't trade a minute. But we had volunteers at Vogel, and they still do. That summer, I had 42 volunteers. That's a bunch of folks to look after. You know, it's kind of like herding cats. It's hard to order folks around that are working for nothing. It's kind of like at the church, all right? But I had an old boy named Ralph. Right, I'm gonna run a word. Some of y'all may not know what this word means. Ralph was a doofus. He couldn't do nothing. He was pitiful. He's a senior adult. I don't know how he'd live that long without getting killed, okay? Or killing others. He's dangerous. And there was a man at the park named Louis DeMott. He was a deacon at First Baptist Moultrie. Since then, I've done his funeral. That man became a, God sent Louis to be a mentor in Stacy Dyer's life. He discipled me, okay? And I was a bivocational pastor, and Louis would just come up, and you knew you was in trouble when Louis would go, he was fixing to take you over the coals and trim you down to size. And so Ralph comes off the hill at my shop at Vogel on one of the tractors, and we had a thing called a honey wagon. We hauled the sewage from the wastewater treatment plant up into the woods with this as an old military trailer, and I'd customized it. Well, you just imagine that. I'd customized the sewer trailer. And we had that thing, and it really worked good. You can go up there now and look. The timber where that stuff was applied is twice as big as the other areas. But it was dangerous because the tractors we had weren't adequate to pull it with when you got it full. Nobody told Ralph to crank that tractor or move it. He wasn't qualified. So I start up the driveway to my shop, and here comes Ralph. And I knew Ralph weren't capable of stopping because that tractor wouldn't stop it. And so he saw me and I saw him, and you know how a squirrel will do its tail when it gets out in the road and it don't know what to do. Well, I knew what to do. I went up in the woods with my truck, and Ralph went off into the creek upside down. And it didn't kill him. Didn't even scratch him, okay? Tore my tractor all to pieces. I spent the rest of the day getting sewage out of the creek. That gets you an EPD form you got to fill out. Oh, it's real nice. I was so mad at Ralph. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, but I tell you, it was tempting, all right? And Lewis come driving up to the shop, and I was mad, and he said, son, what's the matter? And I began to tell him how Ralph had done, He looked at me, and he said some words that changed my life. I hope tonight they'll change your life. Because Ralph's got relatives that live in LJ. Okay? They live everywhere. He's got kin folks, all right? And all joking aside, people can be aggravating. But Lewis sat right there in front of my desk, and he said, son, I know Ralph's aggravating. I know he's dangerous. I was to the point I was fixing to go down to the office and revoke his privileges as a volunteer and send him back to where he come from and hope he never came back again. I was mad. And Lewis said, Stacy, Ralph needs a friend. He couldn't have, if he'd have hit me between the eyes with a shovel, he couldn't have hit me any harder. God spoke to Stacy Dyer that moment. It was a life-changing moment. He said, Ralph needs a friend. Now let me tell you, Ralph is dead. But Ralph got something that day that he had really never had. Ralph got a friend. You're looking at him. I began to do a lot of schooling with Ralph, and I got real close to him because he is my friend. I remember Lewis said, you know, Stacy, the Bible says that Jesus is our friend. He said, Ralph drove your tractor off in the creek. Have you ever drove God's tractor off in the creek? I said, Lewis, won't you go on back to your campsite? I've heard enough. I get it. Ralph got a friend. I just want to say something to you. Everywhere you go, I'd like to hope everybody in this room tonight's a Christian, but I don't know that. If you're not, you don't have a friend in Jesus. You're an enemy to God until you get saved. It's a reality. But if you've been saved, you're a child of the King. But God left you and me here for a reason. See, there's people out here in Gilmer County. I believe we're to go to all the ends of the earth. I believe that with all my heart. That's what we, last year we were back to Montana, and we try to be on mission everywhere we go. But there's people right here in your doorstep. I want you to hear me. They don't have a friend in the world. They've messed up everything that's ever been before them. They've messed up marriages. They've messed up family. They've messed up parenting. They've messed up being children. They've messed up careers. They've messed up their health. They don't have a friend in the world. And they need you. Last night, Diane and I, we came back through here and went back to my parents for a while, and we met up with a pastor and his wife from Waycross, Georgia, Randy Ray. And he was telling me about a fellow down there that he's been there, Dan, 8 years as a pastor at Pine View, little church out in the middle of nowhere. He's bivocational. He's a carpenter by trade and just a sweet man. Got a heart for God. Just lights my fire just to hear him talk. But he said, he talked about an old boy that he built a relationship with. Now listen to this. Some of these folks I'm talking to you about that need a friend, they're not going to let you be a friend overnight. Took Randy 7 years. He said the first time he met this old boy, he told him, he said, now preacher, I'm not saved and I'll get saved when I get ready. The man knew the Bible, read his Bible. But 7 years into this relationship, he called him and said, Randy, I'm ready. Randy said, I'd worked hard and I was give out and it's hot and I just didn't have any energy left. He said, I'll be right there. He said, well, you've got to ask the Lord to save you. He said, yeah, but I want you to be here with me when I ask Jesus to be my Savior. About a week later, the man was diagnosed with bone cancer. He didn't know it when he got saved. He's took treatments and doing better, got strong enough to be baptized. Those kind of stories encourage an old preacher like me. I hope it encourages you to find somebody. When Jesus found these boys that would slither off like snakes, they weren't on the top 10 list in leadership profiles. If we'd have had a team to look for them, that we wouldn't have picked these guys, Dan. They didn't look like the people that would change the world. But could you imagine that if in revival in 2020 at Pleasant Grove, if we set ourselves to go after people that nobody else even really cared about, that those very people might be saved, and then that God might use them, because some of them have such a past that when they change, people are like, I know God did that, okay? Could it be that through all of this, God's trying to get our attention? I don't want to drag up a I don't want to drag up a theological debate. People get all sketchy about the return of the Lord, and this one looks at it this way, and this one looks at it. Let me just simplify that just a minute. One of these days, the Father, who He alone knows what the Bible says, is going to call a timeout. And He's going to tell His Son, go get my children. And all the people, I want you to hear me. All the people who have not surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ at that moment, in my opinion, because the Holy Spirit, when the church leaves, the Holy Spirit's going to leave. Well, I'm simple, okay? But when I got saved, I was drawn by the Holy Spirit. Well, if the Holy Spirit ain't on the planet, how in the world is somebody going to get saved? That's just me, okay? But think about the billions of people, billions, that are going to die. They're going to perish. They're going to spend eternity in hell. And we have the opportunity to do, I said that, we have the opportunity to do something about it. We can do that with our ministry, with our money, but we can also do that with our lives, our friendships. And you say, well, it's going to be hard to make a relationship with people right now. Not really. People, boy, you folks have been shut in the house for 6 or 7 weeks. They ready to talk to somebody. They'll even talk to the preacher, Dan. They want to talk. They're listening. Meanwhile, the enemy's stirring. Now, I'm going to be controversial right here. The enemy's stirring in our race relationships. He's stirring in our political realms. Man, he's trying to make families fight over things. And I'm going to share one more story, and I promise I'll hush. I'm from Blairsville, Georgia. I grew up in a town, they weren't a black person in our town, okay? And when I was about 15 years old, I met George. My daddy worked at the school. I went on to work for the state. George was the surplus property manager for the state of Georgia. African American, loved to rabbit hunt. So about once or twice a year, George Tenney would come to Blairsville and I'd take him rabbit hunting. He'd stay at my mom and daddy's house. He'd slide his feet under my mama's table. I can get this cell phone out right now and I can show you a text message where 2 or 3 days ago he's checking on my daddy and George Tenney's praying for my daddy. Let me tell you what I see when I see George Tenney. You didn't ask for this. This is free, okay? I don't see a black man. I see a saved man. George is my friend. I'm going to spend eternity with him. He was in Helen, Georgia a couple weeks ago. We were going to do lunch and Dad got worse and I couldn't get to go meet him and it all didn't work out. We'll do it again. I tell you that to say this. I'm so sick and tired of this race junk being revved up. It don't have to be that way. Listen, there's some lousy black people. There's some lousy white people. Hello? Getting quiet in here. But there's some wonderful people of every color who love Jesus Christ. And tonight I thank God for a friend like George that nearly 40 years ago, he let us be friends. And we love each other. That's the way it's supposed to be, okay? And some folks are like old Ralph. They're hard to love. Don't think it's going to be easy. But you have something if you're saved tonight, and I promise I'm done. You have something to offer. It's been given to you. Jesus gave you peace. People are seeking it and you have it. I understand you've got a deep well running to overflow of the peace of God if you've been saved. If you hadn't tonight, in a moment the pastor will come and I'm going to turn the invitation over to him. But if you've not been saved, I'd love for you to experience the peace I'm talking about. And tonight I'm not talking about something I don't know about, okay? That peace has been good for us in 2019 and 2020. And it'll be with us until we, Diane and I, leave here someday and go to heaven. I'm thankful tonight for that peace that only Jesus can give. I'm going to ask you to stand. Your pastor is going to come and give the invitation. And tonight, if you never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you don't need to put that off, okay? Because he could come back at any moment. Tonight, I hope God, for those of you that are saved, and I believe that's a bunch of us in this room, I'd ask you tonight to heed what I've said to you. I wish you'd get a burden. I wish you'd fall under the yoke of a burden. And that right now God had put somebody's name and face on your heart. And you'd come to this altar and you'd stay 6 foot apart and maintain. You don't have to get right up on each other. If you want to, that's fine. And pray for that person. And don't stop till you make a friend out of them and they find that friend Jesus. Dan.